Hello everybody, it's Tani here. Welcome to week three of our course. It's amazing to think we're already up to the third week. I just want to start by checking everybody can hear me okay with the Skype connection today. So if I sound pretty clear, could you press 1? If I sound really weird or distorted, press 2 and that will give me a sense of the audio quality. Oh good, I'm seeing lots of 1s. Fantastic. Great. I've had a few apologies from some women who can't be here today with us, so we're just going to include them in our heart, in our meditation, and in our thoughts, and hopefully they'll be with us on the follow-up call. I do have to just remind those of you who've forgotten about the follow-up calls that if you do ever miss this main two-hour class, we do run a follow-up call a few days later, and it's usually a very small group, so we're getting to look into the things that we're teaching in a lot of detail and really apply them personally to people, so it's a really lovely experience. So you're always welcome to join in the follow-up call as well as the main class if you feel like you want to go a bit deeper into the stuff we've been learning about, or if you just want to hear the other women's experiences a bit more. It's just a different size group, so it's nice. But actually today on this call we have quite a small group because some people can't come today, so it'll be a nice intimate class, which is beautiful. So I just want to start with really acknowledging all of you, because I've been getting a few emails from people and also posts on the Facebook group which have been showing me how far people have come already just in the first couple of weeks of the course. And I think the reason for that is something that we're going to be looking at today in today's lesson, which is about setting an intention and the power of setting an intention. And what I tend to find in my own life, and I've definitely seen it in this course as well, is that in my own life, if I have an intention, a very powerful intention, that there's something I want to learn or change about myself, and I go so far as to actually find the exact right course that fits me, that speaks to me, with teachers that really resonate with me, and I spend a bunch of money on it, and I put it in my diary, and I'm looking forward to it, sometimes what happens is by the time the course has started, I've actually already learnt a lot of the content somehow or other, or I've already had the shift, or I've already had the breakthroughs. Well, sometimes within the first couple of weeks that's already started to happen, because sometimes just the actual fact that you set the intention and took some committed action towards that intention is enough to shift everything in your life. You don't always even need to do the course. Now, obviously, if you do the course, you're going to learn a lot of other stuff, but I'm seeing it in this group of women. There was one woman who couldn't make our second week, so all she'd done was the first week of the course, but she felt so confident just after that that she went and helped out running a workshop for 2 days. And I've been hearing stories like this from people, and you know, yeah, we did a lot in the first week, but I think more to the point is the fact that the power of your intention to draw a course to you that was the perfect course at this time with a teacher that you resonated with, the fact that you put it in your diary, the fact that you paid money, the fact that you showed up, is enough for many of you, for your higher self, to really get that you are absolutely committed to speaking from your heart, to getting yourself out there, to getting over your fears of speaking. And that has already started to set a lot of the pieces in motion for the changes, even setting aside the content of this course, although of course the content is going to be very useful. So I just wanted to really illustrate that, because it's one of the examples of the power of setting a really clear intention and following it up with action. And I just see it over and over again in my life happening when I really get clear on what I want and I take some action towards it. Often it happens surprisingly fast, the shift. So I really want to acknowledge all of you for signing up for this course, you know, putting it in your diary, really resonating with it, choosing to be here each week, because that in itself is half of the work. So what I want to talk about today is setting an intention, but before I do that, I'd like us all to just take a moment to center ourselves. So just putting your pens and papers down, closing your eyes, and just take a moment to connect into your body. Notice your 2 feet contacting the floor. Notice the way your 2 hands are resting, wherever they're resting, on your legs maybe or on the seat. Notice the weight going through your spine and down into your sitting bones and into the chair. Notice the way your head sits on your spine. And now start to just take a nice deep breath in and out. feeling everything start to slow down. And another one, nice big breath in and out. And so because we're going to be talking about intention today, this might be a nice time to reconnect with your intention for doing this course. So just bring your awareness into the center of your chest, into your heart space, and just allow that space to start to fill up with the intention that you had when you started this course, and maybe any refinements to that now that it's unfolding, if you've got any new details of that intention. You don't even need to have words for it, just feel it. And then start to expand that to your intention for all the women in this course. Maybe it's about your intention for how they're going to feel after it's finished, or what they're going to learn, or how they're going to expand as women, or the contribution they're going to make to society. Just feel into your intention for all the women doing this course. And then just start to bring your attention back to your body, your feet on the ground, your hands resting on your lap. Just a short process just to reconnect us into our intention, to bring us into our heart. So let's take one last big breath just to center ourselves. And breathing out. And then when you're ready, just slowly open your eyes and excuse me, just start to come back into the room. Maybe wiggling your fingers and toes. So it's really nice to start these classes just with a short centering meditation like that. And so as I said, we are going to be talking a lot about intention today. But before we do, I'd love to just check in with you guys how you've been going over the week with the centering and grounding exercises that we did in last week's class. I know some of you were there live, some of you listened to the recording. So I'm just going to ask a couple of people to share what's been happening for you in the past week, if you had the chance to practice any of the different centering techniques or the grounding techniques or any of those mental reframing things we were talking about, making things less significant, sort of questions that I was bringing up. So just press 1 if you'd like to share. I've just seen Denise number 1 come up. I'm not sure if that's a 1 from earlier or from now, but I'm going to pass you the mic just in case it was. Go ahead.
Hi, Tani. How are you?
Good, thanks.
That's good. I had a great time with the exercises. I had to listen to them afterwards. We had power outages that day. So I found I can be a really grounded person. So the tree one was great for me, but quite often I don't go upwards and bring that energy down. So it helped me, it made me feel like it grounded the beauty of who I am. Because it was so beautiful, the energy that came from above. So, yeah, that's been really neat for me. So thanks.
Fantastic. That's a beautiful expression. I want to write that down. Grounded the beauty of who you are. That's just awesome. And imagine walking onto a stage feeling that, you know, I am grounded in the beauty of who I am. That's a powerful space to speak from. Really beautiful. Thanks for sharing that, Denise. Gorgeous. So, yeah, I just want to hear from one or two others just to hear how you've been going with practicing the different techniques that we talked about. So I'm just going to wait for a couple of minutes and see who feels like sharing, and just remember that what you share will probably be useful or inspiring for the other women. So just press 1 if you feel like sharing about that. Or if you've had the chance to actually speak in the past week and you used any of these techniques, I think that would be very helpful for people to hear. Oh, I'm going to pass to Marion. I know she's done some speaking this week. Excellent.
Hi,
Marion, go ahead.
Hi, everybody. I got to do my little 2.5-3 minutes on the radio with a radio host in Canada, and it was a little laughter yoga piece. It went really well, and I do attribute that in large part to speaking from the heart, and I practiced all the exercises, the grounding one with the tree and then reaching up into the stars, and it went really well and really enjoyed it.
Great. And have you had a chance to practice those techniques at other times during the week?
I have to say I was unmindful of doing that, although I definitely did do some mental reframing, for sure.
Yeah, great. Yeah, that's important. Excellent. Thanks so much for that. And I have to tell everyone, I did listen to the recording of Marion speak, and it was powerful. It was really, really good. So I could really tell she was in her heart, and I could tell she was very centered. You can actually hear it when people speak, when they are coming from a centered place. It does feel very different. The thoughts tend to come out much more coherently. The sentences tend to flow more easily. The timing tends to unfold more easily. So it's really interesting. And it tends to be that when we're uncentered and nervous that we ramble on, or we mismanage the time, or we don't say what really is there to be said. So it's a powerful thing. And I do want you guys to start to get into the habit of practicing those techniques whenever you can. So if you're about to walk into a restaurant to have dinner with someone, just take a moment to center yourself, take a breath, or connect with nature, or pause, or any of those short techniques that we talked about. If you're about to call someone on the phone or about to take a call from someone, that's a great time to practice it. And what we're going to be looking at in the second half of today is all about a really powerful step that I always take before I do any kind of speaking. In fact, usually if I only have time to do one thing, this is the thing I do, which is about freeing up our body, getting our body to a very free, connected, neutral, flowing place. So that's what we're going to be looking at in the second half of today's call, and also in this week's homework. Most of this will be done in homework because it's an audio track that I'm going to be sending you that I'm wanting you to do at home to really get that feeling in your own body. And that is a very, very powerful tool for getting yourself ready for speaking. So we'll be doing that in the second half of the call. I'm noticing a couple of people dropping on and off. So if that happens, just take it as an opportunity when you call back in to just take a breath, center yourself, see if you can find your way back to calmness, even if you fall off the call. There's all sorts of things going on these days with Skype and everything, so we'll just do our best. So what I want us to move on to now is talking a little bit more about how you can use intention when you're speaking. A really powerful way to feel comfortable and feel confident when we speak is to have, I suppose you could call it, a clear roadmap for what we're going to speak about. And this is very different than the tradition of planning our talk. So let's say you're about to go and give a presentation or to speak in front of a group. Usually what we do is we go into our head and we sit down and we plan exactly what we're going to say, and sometimes we even write all the words out, every single point, how we're going to phrase it, key words, you know, even whole sentences sometimes people write. And that is a very restrictive way of doing planning because it really limits you to the exact thoughts, points, ideas, words, and language that you came up with in that moment where you were doing the planning. And when you deliver the actual talk a few weeks later, you may have learned loads since then. You may have unfolded as a being since then. You may be able to tap into stuff that's going on in that room with that particular audience that you never would have thought of before you actually got into the room with them. And so you're very, very restricted because you planned it in the abstract. And you planned it in the past. So when we are in a space of speaking in the present moment, then we have available to us all the learnings that we've had until that point in our life. We have available to us stuff that might come up that's relevant to this particular audience in this particular moment. But at the same time, we don't want to be completely in this like free-flowing with absolutely no guidelines, or else we could talk about anything. And so that's why I like to provide people with a kind of different kind of structure. And the structure comes from setting a powerful intention. The intention provides a container for what we're going to say when we speak. It's like an energetic container. So you don't need to do all the planning, although we will later on in the course look at ways of doing some planning that are helpful rather than restrictive. But let's leave that for today. We will get to that later in the course. But before you can even get to any kind of planning, the most important thing is to set a very clear energetic container, and we do that by setting an intention. And there are lots of different ways of setting intentions. So you probably heard a lot of people talk about this before, setting an intention. What outcome do I want from this? And I've sort of developed a two-part approach to setting an intention, and it's very powerful, and I do it before I speak. And I'm just going to offer it to you as one model. There may be other models out there for setting an intention that you already know or that resonate with you, but I just want us today to practice this one because it is a very powerful one. So what I will usually do is set an intention for myself and an intention for my audience. And each one has two parts to it. How would I like to feel, and what outcome would I like in the highest good? So I might start by saying, let's say I'm about to teach week one of the whole woman speaking course. Before I dial into the call, I'll take a few minutes quietly to sit down and really feel into my intention. So it's not about thinking. It's about feeling into my intention. So the first part is, how do I want to feel while I'm teaching this class today? Now that's a question we don't often ask ourselves. How do I want to feel? Well, I want to feel happy. I want to feel inspired. I want to feel like my body's free. I want to feel awake, because it's early in the morning for me. I want to feel connected to these women. I want to feel that I'm in my heart. I want to feel inspired. I want to feel excited about this work that I'm teaching. You know, so I might set an intention like that. That's how I want to feel. And then I might set the intention, how do I want my audience to feel? How do I want the women doing the course to feel? Okay, well, I want them to feel inspired. I want them to feel like they're learning stuff of value. I want them to feel like they're in the right place. I want them to feel connected to each other. I want them to feel connected to me. I want them to feel full of possibility, hope, and excitement for what's possible in this course, or whatever it is. It doesn't matter what it is, what the specifics are. The point is that I'm focusing on how I want myself to feel and how I want my audience to feel. And then the second part of it is about the outcome. And the way I ask this is very different from the way we usually set an intention. So this is how it usually works. Usually when someone's about to give a class or a talk, they set an intention, I want 55 people to sign up to this class, to my follow-up coaching, and I want to earn $10,000 from this particular funnel that I'm setting up for these classes, and I want them to tell 35 different friends so that my list grows, and I want blah, 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 blah. Or let's say I'm standing up on stage trying to save the whales. I might have an intention, I want every single person to get up off their seat after I speak and go and donate money to my charity. Or I want everybody to go home and start using renewable energy in their house. Usually we have a very specific outcome in mind when we're setting an intention. And what I have learned is that that is really counterproductive because, well, firstly, people can feel it when we have an agenda in our voice when we're speaking. People can feel it when we're trying to make them do something. We're trying to make them change their behavior. We're trying to make them use renewable energy or donate to our charity or sign up for our class. People can feel it. There's a certain push energy when we speak from that place of a very specific outcome-oriented intention. And people don't like being manipulated. And you probably all sense that many times where you're at a talk or listening to a speaker and you can feel the sales pitch coming on and you get uncomfortable. Some of us are very susceptible to it. I always end up signing up because I'm easily manipulated. Other people go the opposite way. They end up not signing up and they feel very resentful. Or people like me sign up and then afterwards feel resentful because they wish they hadn't because in that moment they got manipulated. So we all respond differently to it, but the common theme is that we tend to feel uncomfortable. And I suspect that's probably a fairly universal reaction. And it's because we can feel the person's energy field. We can feel their agenda. And even if it's a really, really worthy agenda, like go home and change all your oil to renewable energy, it's still an agenda. And most of us resist that. The second thing is the agenda usually comes from the person's little human brain, what they think is going to be good for the other person or for the planet or for whatever. And in actual fact, our little human brain can't really comprehend what's going to be good for that person or for the planet. And so the way I've learned to set an intention is not to say the specific outcome that my brain wants, like I want them all to go and donate to this charity, or I want them all to sign up for my course, or I want them all to go and change the way that they're setting up their houses so they use renewable energy. I've learned to set an intention that's in their highest good and in my highest good. And I don't always know what that is because I can't know what's in someone's highest good. My little human brain can't know that, but my higher self does know that and that there are forces out there that do know that. And so when I set my intention, this part of the intention that's about outcome, I set an intention for the outcome in the highest good. So I might say, okay, when I start teaching week one of my telecourse, my first part is how I want to feel and how I want my audience to feel, and I've already shared that with you. And then I might say, okay, my intention for myself is that I learn from today whatever I need to learn in my highest good, and the people who it's in their highest good to work with me will choose to sign up if it's right for them. And my intention for the people listening is that they draw from this hour or this 2 hours what is in their highest good to learn, and that if they're called to work with me again in their highest good, they listen to that and they do that, and if not, they find their learning somewhere else. So can you feel how that's a very different quality of intention than me saying, my intention is that 80% of the women who listen to this class will sign up for the next thing or whatever. You know, can you feel the different energy in it? And what happens is when you speak from a place of having put an intention out there in the highest good, so let's say I'm standing up at an environmental rally and I'm wanting to speak about my passion for renewable energy, my intention might be, my intention is that the people in this audience take action that is in their highest good on behalf of the planet and that's in the highest good of the planet. Now, for many people, that may be switching over to renewable energy, but for other people, it may be something beyond your imagining that they might end up doing to take that step in their highest good. It may be a much bigger contribution than you could have imagined. It may be in a totally different area of their life that they make a change that's in their highest good and the highest good of the planet. Very different than setting a specific intention that I want everyone in this audience to be so inspired that they go out and start using recycled paper or whatever your specific outcome is. So I'm just putting that out there because I have found that once I teach people how to create this two-part intention, which is about how you want yourself to feel, how you want your audience to feel, the outcome in the highest good for yourself and the outcome in the highest good for your audience, then what happens is once you get really clear on that and you feel into that, and particularly if after you've felt it, you then declare it out loud with powerful language, then what happens is when you stand up to speak or you sit down at the dinner table to speak, it's like your entire brain, unconscious, higher self, whatever it is, organizes the words to come out to create that intention. So you'll find yourself saying exactly what needs to be said so that the audience feels the way you intended them to feel and so that the highest good can come about for everyone as you intended. And it's like your words sort of arrange themselves around your intention. And you'll find, because we're going to practice it today, that it's a very different way of organizing your speaking, and it's much easier, much less work, and much more powerful than having spent 3 hours beforehand planning what you were going to say. So we're going to be doing some processes in the next few weeks around this, intention, planning, the differences in how it feels differently and how it sounds differently to the listeners. So, I'm really excited to share this with you because once you really learn this and start practicing it, it's going to make a huge difference, not just in your speaking, but in lots of areas of your life, because this is a profound way to set an intention, full stop, not just in speaking. So, let me just look at what I want us to do with this. There's a couple of possibilities. What's the time? 10:26. What I'd like us to do is do a little process around this. Let me just see how many people we have on the course, and I'm just going to put out an intention that people don't drop off for the next little bit so we can keep you in your groups. 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I think I might do groups of three. Okay, groups of three. So I'm just going to create groups of three here. Participants, groups of three. Create. Right. So I'm just going to write down the groups so that I have them written down. So we have Jacqueline, Maggio, and Marion are in group one. We have Natalie, Gayatri, and Jan in group two. We have Heather, we have Lyndon, we have Allison in group three. And we have Beth, Denise, and Mary in group four. Excellent. So if anyone does drop off, I'll be able to put you back in your right group. So that's good. So what we're going to do is the first person is going to be Jacqueline, Natalie, Heather, and Beth. So you're going to go first. And what's going to happen is I'm going to give you a minute without telling you the topic that you're going to be speaking about. Okay, so it's just a totally unusual exercise. Normally when you speak, you will know your topic, but for the purpose of this exercise, you're not going to know your topic. What I want you to do is spend a minute setting your intention for a two-minute talk that you're about to give on a topic that you don't know. And I want you to set your intention for yourself, how you want to feel, and what outcome you want for yourself in your highest good from this two-minute talk. And I want you to set an intention for your audience, how you want them to feel, and the outcome that you want for them in their highest good. And I'm just going to ask you to spend a minute really feeling into that. And I'm going to put you all on mute so that when I ask you to speak, you won't be heard. So I'm just going to do that. So go ahead, guys. Just take a minute now, those four of you who are speaking first, just to feel into your intention, how you want to feel, your outcome in the highest good, how you want your two, three other women listening to you to feel, and the outcome you want for them in their highest good during your two-minute talk that you're about to do on an unknown topic. And what I'd like you to do is, as you get clear on each of these four parts of your intention, I want you to actually declare each one out loud. You are on mute, so no one can hear you. And just in a simple sentence, declare your intention out loud for these four parts, how you want to feel, the outcome for yourself in the highest good, how you want the other three women to feel, and the outcome for them in their highest good. And everyone else, you can just be taking this minute just to center yourself, practice tuning into your heart, because you're going to be listening in a minute from your heart. All right, well, hopefully that's given you enough time to set your intention and declare it out loud. So what we're going to do now is, just going to pause the clock for a minute. What we're going to do now is I'm going to give you 2 minutes to speak. I'm going to say your topic, and then you're just going to start speaking without even thinking about it, and just trust that whatever comes out of your mouth is going to be fine. It doesn't have to be beautifully polished speech. Just feeling into your intention and speaking for the next 2 minutes about the topic that I give you. So when I ding the bell, you can start, and your topic is the ocean. The ocean. All right, ladies, well done. I am going to ask during these processes if you can resist the urge to chit-chat with each other. So even if you feel like you're finished and there's still a bit of time left, if you're the speaker, you could just pause and maybe just go quiet for a few seconds and just feel, is there anything else that you want to say about that topic? And if there's not, you can just stay in silence until the bell rings, because it's usually only going to be a few more seconds, or you may find that something else wants to come out. Now, with this, we're not trying to do perfect speeches that are perfect with a beginning, middle, and end. We're just practicing what it feels like to speak off the cuff, purely coming from an intention. So what we're going to do now is I'm just going to give you a minute, the same people who just spoke, to just have a chat with your group. And what I want you to do is just start with telling them what your intention was, the four-part intention, and then just hear back from the other two or three women who are on the call with you about, you know, what did they feel when they were listening to you? Did it align with your intention? How much did it align? You know, just to get a sense of how that was playing out. There's one group that didn't do the exercise yet. So what I'm going to ask your group, I think it was Natalie's group, group two, I'm just going to ask you to speak with each other over that minute about this idea of setting an intention and what you've learned already from what we've done today, or what's coming up for you around that. So just have a chat with each other about that. And the other three groups, you can do this debrief after the first speaker. Just share with them what their intention was and just hear the feedback from the others. So I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to have that chat. Go ahead. Okay, lovely ladies, well done. I have to say that was a scary thing for a lot of you to do, going first, being the very first person to do the very first exercise in this course, so, you know, didn't know the topic. And just think how terrified normally you would be if you were asked to stand in front of people and speak on a topic impromptu. And then compare that to how scared you actually were in this moment. Now, some of you were in a little bit of fear, but I suspect it was way less than in a normal situation where you didn't know your topic. So really give yourself some acknowledgement of that, because firstly, we're in a very safe space. Secondly, you have just spent a lot of time setting an intention, and that takes sort of the emphasis off the content and puts the emphasis onto how you're feeling when you speak and your intention. And I'm just curious at the end when we do a bit of a debrief to see how that changed things for you. When I was going around listening to you guys just then, I heard many of the listeners say that they did feel the person's intention as they were speaking. They did have that feeling that was intended for them to feel. So that's really nice to know that you can do that. Even the very first time you've done this in your whole life with no, didn't give you any warning, and you were thrown in at the deep end, and yet still your listeners could feel your intention. So that's beautiful. I really want to really congratulate you all for that. It'll be a little bit different for the second person because you now know what's coming, although I will give you a different topic. One of the groups, which is Heather and Lyndon, your third person, Alison, seems to have dropped off. She's been coming back on and off a few times, and now she seems to have completely dropped off. So if she comes back in, I'll put you in. So what we're going to do is now the second person in each group is going to have a chance to do this process. So we're going to start with Margio, Gayatri, Lyndon, and Beth. And I'm just going to give you a minute now. I'm going to put you all on mute again. And I'm going to give you a minute to just go through those four parts of your intention and declare them out loud. Just feel into them first and then declare them out loud. So your intention for yourself, how you would like to feel, and your outcome and your highest good in this 2-minute impromptu talk that you're about to do. And your intention for your audience, how would you like the other one or two women listening to feel while you're speaking for that 2 minutes? And what outcome would you like for them in their highest good? Just take your time feeling that and declaring it. And the others can just take a minute to center themselves. Drop into your heart and get ready to listen from your heart. Okay, just bringing that to a close. So in a moment, you four ladies are going to have a chance to speak. And just remember, this is not about doing a perfect speech. Doesn't have to. You can mumble and stumble and say, No one's really listening to the content. It's just a chance for you to practice speaking from an intention. It's not like a normal talk where people are really worrying about what you say. So it's just a chance for you to practice speaking from an intention. And just notice how it feels to speak from an intention. So don't worry what comes out of your mouth. It's really not what this exercise is about. So you four are about to speak, Margio, Gayatri, Lyndon, and Beth. And I just want you to take a breath and tune back into your intention. And you're going to have 2 minutes to share from your heart about the topic, which is the mountains. Mountains. Well done, everybody. Well done. I know one of the groups started a bit late, so you didn't have as long, but it's okay. Even to just have 30 seconds to practice this is good. Now, I'm just noticing a few people have just dropped off. So group one is still intact. Group two, we have Natalie and Gayatri. So Jan has just dropped off, so I'm going to wait a moment to see if she comes back. Beth, Denise, Mary has just dropped off, so I'm just going to take them. Oh, here's Jan. She's just come back. Excellent. I'll put her back into group two. So what I'm going to give you guys now is just a minute. The person who just spoke, you're just going to have a minute to share what your intention was and how it felt for you to speak from that intention, and then the other one or two women who are in your group can share back how they did feel. Did they get a sense of your intention? Did they have a bit of a feeling of what you were intending them to feel? So go ahead, each group. You've got a minute to talk, a couple of minutes to talk about that. Yeah. Well done, well done, well done, ladies. I could really hear that second round. It was a little bit less scary because we'd already done one round. People had a bit more of an idea what was coming. And so, yeah, everyone was relaxed into it a lot more. You know, it's always hard for the people who go first, and that's totally fine. So well done, well done on the second group of people. I've just noticed Mary's just come back on. Excellent. I'm going to put her into group four. So Mary, you just missed Denise doing her 2-minute talk and then debrief. So what we're going to do now is the third person in each group, which is going to be Marion, Jan, and Mary. Alison, unfortunately, in group three has dropped off. So in group three, which is Heather and Lyndon, once I ding the bell and the others are all practicing doing their 2-minute talk, you two can just have 2 minutes to talk about what you're learning about setting an intention, what's resonating with you, what isn't, you know, what your thoughts and feelings are about this process I'm teaching you and how you might use it in your life. So you just have a general discussion about intention and the others will do their 2-minute speech. But before that, we're just going to take a minute. Those who are going to be listening are going to use that minute to practice listening from their heart, getting into your heart, really getting out of your head, centering yourself, practice one of the centering techniques. Just use that minute to practice centering. And the speakers, Marion, Jan, and Mary, I just want you to take a minute. I'm going to put you on mute, and you're going to just feel into the four intentions and declare them out loud. Your intention for yourself, how you want to feel, the outcome for yourself in your highest good, how you would like your other women listening to feel, and the outcome for them in their highest good. So go ahead. You have a minute to do that. Okay, everybody, hopefully you've had a chance to feel into your intention, even if you haven't articulated all of it out loud. As long as you felt it, that's good. So now you're going to have 2 minutes to talk to these gorgeous women in your group. And again, don't worry about it coming out perfectly. Don't worry about the beginning, middle, and end and all the language and all of that. It's really just a chance for you to practice speaking from your intention. No one's expecting a polished speech. Just whatever comes out of your mouth will be fine. The feeling into your intention, you have 2 minutes, and your topic is the forest. The forest. Okay, so just bringing that to a close now. And because we're doing these two-minute things, don't worry if you're halfway through a sentence or you haven't quite finished. It's really not about the perfect timed speech. It's just about speaking from your intention. So well done, everybody. I can feel how with each round, people are relaxing more into the process. It's finding it's becoming easier and less scary, so that's beautiful to hear. I'm just going to give you guys a minute now, the three women who spoke, to just share with your listeners what your intention was and how you felt when you were doing it, and then you can ask for some feedback from the listeners, how they felt. Could they feel that intention? Did it play out in what you spoke? And I think Heather and Lyndon are just chatting about all this, and that's great, so you can keep going. Well done, ladies. Really powerful process. Great work. And really, you know, especially the women who went first, good courage. And thank you so much to everyone who spoke, and also thank you so much to everyone for listening from your heart, because you can really feel how supportive that was for the people speaking, that they knew that you were listening from your heart, because it's not easy to speak to complete strangers off the cuff on a topic you haven't prepared, so you all did very well. I know there's a couple of people who came in late and haven't had a chance to do this exercise, but I'm hoping that just from listening to the others, you've had some learnings, and do come along to the follow-up call on Sunday if you can, because in that call we will be doing this process again, and people who haven't had a chance to do it will have a chance to speak. So if you were one of those people who didn't get to do it now, please do it then. And if not, don't worry, because everything we're doing in following weeks will be building on this. We're always going to be starting with setting an intention before we speak. But today's really was just purely about that, because you didn't even have a topic. In future weeks you'll have topics, you'll have a bit more time to prepare it. But I think it's really actually good to know that you can do what you just did. You know, you just spoke without any preparation on a topic you didn't even know what it was going to be, and every single person sounded pretty fluent. I didn't hear anyone gumbling and stumbling. I didn't hear ums, and no one went into nonsensical English, and everyone was speaking really quite beautifully, and that shows you what's possible. If you can speak coherently without stumbling and mumbling the very first time you've ever done it in your whole life, imagine how you're going to be speaking once you're used to doing this process of setting an intention and speaking from a place of trust. So really, really powerful work, everybody. Well done. So what I want to do is, before we move into the rest of the class today, because we are going to be shifting to a new topic, I just want to take a few minutes for some feedback. We're a small enough group. There's only 11 people. So we're going to come out of the groups of three or four now, and we're just going to come into it back into the big group. And I want to ask you guys to... a few people, maybe one person from each group to share. So let's start with the first group, Jacqueline, Margio and Marion. I'd love one of you to press one and speak on behalf of your group about how you found that experience personally, the things that everyone shared. You just trust whoever presses one first will be the right person. And I think we're all going to learn a lot from each group. So I'm going to start with Margio on behalf of group one. Go ahead, you've got the mic.
Hi, this is Margio. And... Women are so amazing. They just can connect so easy and support each other so beautifully. Our group had really heartfelt intentions to connect and to be intimate, and that worked even in this, you know, off the cuff sort of environment. It was we just connected, and it was very beautiful, and got to know each other a little bit, and then the feedback was so inspiring and supportive. So it went very well.
Beautiful, wonderful. Thank you so much. And there's no coincidence why different groups of women end up being put together in these groups. It sounds like the three of you had common kind of intentions, and that often happens in this. The computer automatically puts people into threes, but there's usually a reason. So that's lovely. So I'm going to ask for someone from group two, Natalie, Gayatri or Jan, to press... a number on your phone, press one on your phone, and I will pass you the mic, and you can speak on behalf of the experience in group two. And I'm going to pass to Natalie. Go ahead, Natalie. Natalie, you have the mic.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, I was on mute and I was talking.
that's funny.
I was talking to myself, never mind. Anyway, I felt to speak as the other two ladies had spoken and given their speeches very beautifully, and I really felt it. The intention set beforehand made such a difference, because the content sort of faded to the background, although it was relevant. It was more that I felt an energetic transference from the information, and therefore it felt to me to be more powerful than anything that could be said. And I felt that it's true that words are only a very small fraction of our communication. I just felt I received so much more information by the... I could feel the intention coming through, what was being said, and to me that just felt so much more powerful.
Wow, that's amazing. Thanks for sharing that, Natalie, because Natalie didn't have the chance to speak, so she was really focusing on listening, which sometimes can be a benefit for us in terms of the feedback, the quality of the feedback, because you're not worrying about speaking, you're just focusing on listening. That's a really great point. I mean, not only does setting the intention create a powerful container which drives the words that come out, and the actual content forms around the intention, and usually we find some powerful content comes out, but in actual fact, the intention itself holds a frequency, and people who are sensitive can feel it much clearer. And that's exactly why, when I said that the traditional intention that is set, which is a specific manipulative outcome usually, carries an energy, and people can feel that. So when people can feel when your intention is that everyone who listens signs up for my course or takes a specific action. And the same way, where you set an intention from a higher place, you know, based on the highest good and how you want people to feel, people can feel the energy of that. Just like Natalie was saying, it's a very different feeling as a listener, very powerful. So that's a wonderful point. Thank you for sharing that. So now we're going to go to group three, which is Heather and Lyndon. We lost Alison right at the start of this process. I'm suspecting she dropped off, so I'm really hoping she can come on to the follow-up call and do the exercise there. And if not, we're sending you love, Alison. We know you're going to be listening to this recording later. So I'm going to ask Heather or Lyndon to press 1 and share what your experience was like as a pair. Okay, I'm going to pass Lyndon the microphone. Go ahead.
I found it to be amazing to listen to Heather and just being able to speak, especially as the first person, being able to speak completely off the cuff, and I absolutely got her intention, which was amazing. She said she was feeling incredibly nervous, but certainly didn't come across. She was very calm, and I just, yeah, it was fantastic. And it was to actually do the talking and be actually coming from that space of staying calm and my intention of how I wanted to feel, but also just the outcome, to come from that space was the most amazing experience for me, because my background is sales. So for me, it's all been about an agenda. And so to actually come from that amazing space was moving. I actually feel really quite teary about as to how moving that actually was. So, I just think it's a really, really powerful process. So, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Lyndon. Thanks for sharing that. And it really is this, I love that Lyndon used the word agenda when talking about sales. And we are going to talk more about that over the coming weeks, and particularly those of you who go on and do the small group coaching afterwards, because it makes such a difference when we can learn to speak out loud without an agenda, particularly in small groups, like when we're speaking with our family or our boyfriend or our friends. We're so trained to speak with an agenda in terms of a specific outcome, and it does carry an energy with it, and it carries a push and it carries a repelling effect usually on people. It's counterproductive, and it also can set up huge expectations in us as the speaker, which often don't get met, and then we leave terribly disappointed. So if you've ever done a telecall or got up on stage with a specific outcome in mind, like wanting to sell a particular product or enroll a number of people, and it hasn't happened, then you start to feel like a failure, and you know, or you can get frustrated or angry. Why does the world not respond to me the way I want? Whereas when we get out of that, out of our head and out of our small brain coming up with a specific agenda, and we step back to a real setting of an outcome from a higher good, then usually that outcome does come about, but it may not come about in the way that our little human brain would have envisaged it. And so there's much less room for failure and disappointment and frustration and anger, because we tend to see, wow, how interesting. So I didn't have that many people sign up for the course, but look at what's happened since, in the 6 months since then. Five of the women who were at that talk went and told other people about it. Now I've got all these new people. Or six of them went on to actually go and change their life. They didn't even need my course. All they needed was the intro, and they went and changed their life, so they had the highest outcome. You know, so it's just, you become less attached to the specific outcome and much more able to observe the ultimate real benefits and the outcomes that come from a higher place. And it means that when you get up and speak, you're much less attached to the outcome because you're not focusing on specific outcomes, so you're freed up, which can create much higher outcomes for everyone concerned, including you. And you just start to learn to speak from so much more confidence, and you don't get off stage or get out of that conversation with your husband and beat yourself up for how it didn't go the way you planned, because you didn't have a specific outcome in mind. You just had an intention that you were holding. So it's a win-win for everyone, because the audience doesn't feel manipulated and you don't set up all these impossible expectations for yourself and don't feel like a failure or frustrated afterwards. So anyway, this is just the very first taste of that today, but it just makes a huge difference, and I'm really glad that you guys are feeling that, even in just such a small exercise. So we're going to pass now to group four. I'd love to hear from Beth or Mary or Denise. So one of you press one and share how it was in your group, and it's different in each group, so it's really great to hear. Okay, I'm going to pass to Beth. Go ahead, Beth.
Hi, I was hoping one of the others would speak because they'd make some really good points. But I'll try and all the speakers were just really in the moment and physical and sensual in the way they described stuff, which was really entertaining, which was one of the aims, intentions, and also relaxed. Both the speakers, sounded very relaxed. And Denise made picked up something from Mary's talk. Mary described driving into this forest with all the snow on the tree ferns, and that she was so awed by the beauty of it that she forgot about the danger of driving through the snow. And Denise pointed out that what a great metaphor that is for, you know, that if you're speaking like this, that if you get into that sort of spiritual thing or the intention, you forget about that kind of fear.
There you go. You guys are learning on so many different levels. You're learning about your ability to speak, and you're also teaching each other about speaking while you do it. That's wonderful. Well done. That's absolutely the truth. When you are focused on your intention, how you want to feel, how you want the audience to feel, the outcomes in the highest good of both you and them, you just don't have the space to even be thinking all that stuff in your head, because you're operating at such a higher level than that thinking that it's just... Oh, hang on, someone's buzzing on my door. I'm just going to tell them I'm teaching. Hang on a sec, sorry. My goodness, that was funny. This is what happens when you teach from your own house. It was Australia Post with a delivery for me. So I asked them to leave it outside the door. Anyway, most amusing. So, yeah, when we speak from this higher place with setting an intention, we're just not coming from our fears. We're not coming from our head. And that's why if before you speak, you take the time to center yourself, ground yourself, focus on your breathing, do the tree exercise, any of the things we learnt last week, and then you free your body up, which is what we're going to start talking about now, and then you set your intention very clearly, and then you start to speak, you know, that's going to take care of 99% of the process for you. And the actual content will take care of itself. And we will later on look at how you can actually make some notes about the content so that, you know, if there's specific information you have to have at your fingertips, you can have it. But I want you to start shifting your attention from preparing the content to shifting your attention to preparing yourself. I'm now at the point when I speak where, let's say I'm doing this class today. Last night before I went to get to bed, I quickly glanced at my notes from last year just to remember what we were doing in week three. When I woke up this morning, I didn't look at the content. I didn't look at the notes. I woke up about 20 minutes before the class, and I thought, right, what do I need to do? I rolled around on the floor for 15 minutes, got my body really free. Then I centered myself, and then I set my intention for the class. And then I pressed dial on Skype. So I'm now at the point where I don't even really worry too much about the content. I know that the most important thing I can do is prepare myself. And if I had only had 5 minutes, I would have used those 5 minutes to prepare myself. Because if you take that time to prepare yourself and you are centered and in your heart, connected to your body, connected to your intention, you can handle anything. Your brain can invent all the content you want. You can manage the energy of the audience. You can respond. You can change. You can adapt. You can think on your feet. Because we can do all those things when we're centered in our heart, connected to our intention. Whereas if we spend that 20 minutes or hour only focusing on reading over the content, reminding ourselves what we're going to say, practicing and memorizing it, reading it over, being in our heads, then when we stand up to speak, we're totally in our head. We've got all our thinking and our fears and our critiquing and our judging, and we're not in our body, we're not in our heart, we're not connected to our intention. We're probably not going to respond very well if the audience asks a question or if anything changes in the situation or if we get a new thought halfway through because something trying to come through but we're not wanting to hear it because it's not part of what we planned, and then we lose our place and we forget where we're up to. Oh, the whole thing goes pear-shaped. Whereas if you use that time to prepare yourself before you speak, then you can handle anything. Because from a centered, calm, grounded, connected place, you can handle anything. So I'm not saying you're never going to prepare any content again, because we are going to start to build that back in later in the course. But for now, I just want you to spend these next few weeks playing with this idea of preparing yourself before you speak, rather than preparing your content before you speak. And today was a very extreme example of that, because you didn't even know your topic. So you couldn't prepare your content. So well done, everybody. So I just want to shift now into talking a little bit about this idea of preparing your body before you speak. I'm going to be giving you for this week's homework an audio track that goes for about 45 minutes. And it's based on the Feldenkrais method, which is the method that I use to free my body up. It's very powerful. And you're going to be guided through a movement process that you'll do by yourself. So I want you to make sure you have an hour to yourself where you won't be disturbed and you can lie on the floor on a mat or a blanket or a couple of yoga mats. And you're going to do the process. This particular process is about speaking, and it's about the voice. So at the start of this audio track, you will be asked to speak as loud as you can to see how your voice feels, to see how easily it travels, to see how much effort, to see the quality of your voice when you speak. Imagine you're standing on a stage. And what you could do is ask your husband or your best friend or your child to stand at the other side of the room, and you say, I'm just going to speak to you as loud as I can, and I want you to just listen. Talk to them about tomorrow night's dinner or what you did during the day. It doesn't matter. And if you don't have someone that you live with that you can do that, just do it to yourself. Just imagine there's someone on the other side of the room, or if you feel uncomfortable asking someone, just imagine there's someone standing on the other side of the room. Speak as loudly as you can, because what we're going to look at is how much effort we use with our body when we're speaking. Then you're going to do this exercise for 45 minutes, which is going to totally change the way your body is organized. It's going to completely change your posture. It's going to completely change the organization of your ribs, your spine, your pelvis, your head, shoulders. It's using the Feldenkrais method. And at the end of it, you will feel completely different in your body. You will feel neutral. You'll feel connected. You'll feel free. Your body will be organized in a much more efficient way. And then you'll stand up and you'll do the speaking again to the imaginary person or to your husband or your friend or your daughter. And you'll see that it's probably going to feel very different to project your voice across the room. Your body will be organized differently. The instrument of your voice will be organized differently. So speaking will feel much different. Now, it's going to feel different for each person in a different way, but I can guarantee it will feel different. And what I also am going to ask you to pay attention to is not just the physical differences. Okay, my voice sounds lighter or louder or higher or lower or easier and it's less work in my body, but also how you feel different emotionally, how you feel different in mentally and in your state of mind. Because when we reorganize our body like that, it has a huge impact on our state of mind and our emotional state. One of the things I've been speaking about a lot lately in a lot of the telecalls I'm doing is this aspect of my work, which is very much about how we are embodied creatures. We didn't come into this world just to think and feel. We came into this world to think and feel through our bodies. And they're designed for that. And what happens is, as people go through childhood and grow up, they start to, it's almost like the range of expression with our bodies gets smaller. We start to develop habits of how we hold our shoulders. We start developing breasts, so we start slumping, and then someone at school tells us to stand up straight, so now we're slumping and we're pulling ourselves back at the same time. Our feet don't reach the floor on the chair at school, so we start doing all sorts of funny things to hold ourselves up and tensing our hips. And then we carry a school bag on one side, not the other, and we develop a new habit. And then we start trying to, you know, project ourselves out into the world, so we start doing something with our chest to show that we're defiant or vulnerable or whatever it is that our habit is. And we start to develop these layers upon layers upon layers of habits. And you can see that when someone stands on stage who hasn't done any kind of retraining like Feldenkrais, if they're just a normal, typical person, they stand on stage, you can see all their habits. You can see that they're probably quite restricted in how they can move. They've got a particular way that they always stand, a particular way that they always bend, a particular way that they always turn, a particular way that they always reach for things. And all of these things are revealing their personality, their mindset, their emotional state. And so in a lot of the work that I teach, particularly in my body kind of body focus courses like Total Body Freedom and in my Feldenkrais practice with people, it's about starting to peel away those habits, peeling them away. So you start to get back to the authentic person who was there before those habits all formed, and you start to develop a much bigger range of expression through your body. So let me give you an example. Let's say you are someone who tends to be a little bit hunched over and your chest is very rounded down, you're a little bit hunched and your eyes tend to look down when you walk. And that's okay. There's lots of possibilities with that posture. You can look down, you can smell the flowers, you can bend down, you can pick things up. You're probably going to be restricted in looking up at the sky, reaching an apple off the tree, climbing, serving a tennis ball. So anything which require you to extend your body up, you probably can't do those things without pain or without discomfort. But you can do the other lot. You can do the looking down. So there's physical consequences of that body pattern in terms of you're good at bending, but you're not so good at unfolding. But there's also emotional consequences of that habit. Someone whose body is able to, who sort of walks around with their eyes down and their chest sunk, and is probably pretty good at feeling vulnerable, probably feeling good at feeling sad, probably fairly good at giving in to other people's needs and wants. You can imagine this person, even if you just imagine them. If imagine an actor on stage playing a very resigned, vulnerable person, they would do that with their chest to convey that as an actor. But you're probably not very good at asserting yourself, standing up for yourself, speaking up for yourself, because physically your spine does not know how to erect itself. Physically your chest does not know how to expand. So these body habits that we start to slowly fall into over the years become more and more locked in for most people, and they have physical limiting consequences and also emotional limiting consequences, and also they start to influence the way we behave, the way we react to things, because we become that person who always reacts in a certain way in a certain situation. And so many people out there are looking at their patterns of thinking and their patterns of behavior and their patterns of emotions, and they're doing lots of work with NLP or emotional processes or behavioral processes to shift those patterns. And that's great, and I really, really recommend that, and I do a lot of that work myself. But what I have found is if you get down to the level of the body and you shift the underlying body patterns that are under all of it and you change those, then what happens is all the emotional stuff changes. The emotional landscape changes, the thinking patterns change, and the behavioral patterns change. Because a person who can now erect their spine can stand up for themselves, literally. It's as simple as that. And so what I see in my Feldenkrais practice is people come to me with pain and aches and pains and, you know, particular postural habits that are causing physical problems. And as we slowly unpeel all their habits and bring them back to a neutral body, they start to find that their emotional range expands. They start to react differently to things. Their thinking changes. And so this is quite a radical topic for me to share with you, but it's one that I'm very passionate about, and it's hugely important as a speaker. Because as a speaker, you are conveying with your whole body every time you speak. And most of us are conveying with our habits. And so we're standing on stage or wherever we're standing and we're sharing how excited we are about this new product or how passionately we feel about saving the whales. But our habits in our body are not matching that. Our habits are revealing our underlying anxiety or our tension or, you know, our old habit of never speaking our truth or a habit of, you know, whatever the habit is. that's what we're expressing with our body, because most of us aren't aware of our habits of how we use our body. It's just not something that we've been taught to look at. We've been taught to look at our thoughts. We've been taught to look at our feelings. We've been taught to look at our behaviors. We haven't been taught to look at how we're embodying those in our posture and how we move. And so what I've seen in public speaking workshops I've run, because I used to run a lot of them from this body-focused perspective because that's my training, and so we would have women come, and at the start of the day we'd ask them to stand up in front of everyone. It's a small, safe space, so it wasn't too scary. And we'd ask them to stand up and speak about, you know, something, maybe their next holiday or something they're excited about. And they'd be standing there with, you know, their shoulders hunched or their pelvis pushed forward or all their weight on one leg or bouncing up and down or whatever. There's 1,000 possible habits. We all have unique habits. So they'd be standing with their habit and trying to talk from their head about their holiday and how excited they were or whatever they were talking about. And it felt so incongruent, because their body was expressing something completely different. And it was also very distracting for the audience, because habits are distracting. Habits take us away from who we are authentically. And the person speaking was so disconnected from their body that they didn't know they were doing all these habits. They didn't know they were holding their, fidgeting their hands or holding their shoulders up around their ears or whatever they were doing. There's nothing wrong with these. Everyone has these habits. Everyone in the whole world has them. It's just that most people don't know they do. And they were so disconnected from their bodies that it was very hard for them to be in their heart. They were very much in their head. And then what was fascinating to me was we would spend the day doing nothing but body processes. We didn't do the sort of stuff I'm doing with you guys about intention or speaking from your heart, because at that stage I was really just teaching this content that I'm teaching you today. Most of my workshops really were just about shifting your body patterns. So we'd spend the whole day shifting their body patterns. We'd do various Feldenkrais processes with them. They'd change the way they're standing, they'd change their posture, and they'd come up. By the end of the day, they were fully back to neutral, like how they moved when they were a child. Their arms were free, their shoulders were free, their breathing was free. They could move in any kind of direction, you know, that they weren't doing all their habits that showed their personality, like hunching their shoulders or sticking their pelvis forward or whatever it was. They were just back to the neutral way they probably moved when they were 5 years old. And then when they stood on stage and spoke, their body was completely aligned with what was coming out of their mouth. And suddenly they were really compelling to listen to. They were aware of their body, which enabled them to be more in their heart. Their actions, their posture was lining up with what they were saying, and we weren't being distracted by all their habits. And on top of that, the feedback that we got afterwards was that people felt so powerful, because so many of us are used to living in these locked up bodies that are filled with habits. We've forgotten what it feels like to be in a free, neutral body that can respond to any situation. And when you have a glimpse of that, even just in a one-day workshop, and you feel, God, I forgot what it was like to have a free spine and be balanced on my feet and everything feel neutral, and I could run or jump or bend or reach up or anything's possible, you feel totally powerful. The human body is designed to be able to respond to any situation. If you look at the world's greatest martial arts masters whose bodies are very neutral and very free, you can throw anything at them and they'll just do this graceful little movement and they'll duck and they'll be fine. They don't even need to use much energy. They can respond to a kick or a punch or a flip, even if the person coming up against them is 3 times their size, because the body is very neutral, very balanced, and it can respond to anything. And the feeling of power that gives you, even when you just have a glimpse of it, is profound. And in my personal journey, having come from being crippled with chronic back pain, unable to walk, unable to sit for many years, had to give up my career, and spent many, many, many years in significant pain and very stiff and could hardly do most common movements like turning my head. To get to the point after doing years of Feldenkrais work and spending hours doing it every day and completely relearning how to move, yes, I had a wonderful benefit that I got my life back and I'm now out of pain and I can move beautifully and everyone says I look very graceful. That's nice. But the real benefit, if I'm honest, is the feeling of power and possibility that I now have that I never used to have. Because my body's free and I know that whatever is thrown at me, my body can respond to. And that translates out into a feeling in yourself that whatever gets thrown at you in your life, you can respond to. And it's a feeling that when you have that on stage, you know that you're centered, you're present, you're grounded, you're connected to yourself, your body's free, and that no matter what happens in the next hour with this audience, you will be able to respond. So, for example, if I hadn't woken up and rolled around on the floor this morning and freed my body up and got back to a really neutral, because I was a bit stiff when I woke up. And I had used that 30 minutes to prepare reading the content, and I kept, and my body stayed really stiff. When this call started, you would have probably felt a higher degree of agitation in my voice, because when someone's chest is tight, you can hear it when they speak. I'll give you an example. I'm going to tighten my chest up now and talk, and you're going to hear a very big difference in my voice. So imagine if I started speaking to you like this morning, and I'm probably taking much shallower breaths as well. And can you hear how much more stressed I sound? Oh, it feels horrible. I'm just going to let that go. Ooh, so you can hear the difference now that I've just let my chest relax again and I'm taking full breaths again. Can you feel how it's not just that the tone of my voice has changed, but I don't sound so stressed anymore? So this morning, if I had just been a typical person who wakes up stiff and I didn't know this about how to bring my body back to neutral and free up my ribs and spine and chest and get myself back to feeling like a five-year-old again, then I would have been a little bit, had an underlying tension in my voice at the start. And then if people started dropping off the calls, my chest would have tightened up even more, because I would have had no awareness of that, and that I would have started taking even more shallow breathing. And then when the doorbell rang in the middle of the talk and the Australia Post rang and I had to put you all on mute and deal with them and then come back and continue my sentence, I would have been completely destroyed. Because when you can't breathe, you've got no oxygen coming in, your chest is tight, you have an underlying level of stress, and stuff starts to go wrong, that's when everything goes pear-shaped, as we say in Australia. That's when everything starts to go downhill. So the single biggest gift you can give yourself as a speaker is to learn how to get your body free and calm. Because when you're in a free and calm body, you feel that you can respond to anything. And that's why for me, and this is just for me because of my journey of being someone who used to have a very stiff, very sore body and who really knows the benefits of this, if I only have 5 minutes, for me, the number one thing is to free my body. That even takes precedence over setting an intention and centering myself, for me. But that's just my particular situation. But if I have more time than that, I will always free my body first, then center myself and set my intention. And I have seen that it makes such a difference to my ability to cope with what's coming. And I see it, seen it with everyone that I've taught this stuff to. So that's why it's really important that you actually do this week's homework. It's just going to be your very first glimpse at what it's like to do a Feldenkrais process, which is the reason I use Feldenkrais for this is that in all the things I tried when I was relearning how to move, it was by far the cleverest, most effective, most powerful way to shift my movement patterns, my body patterns. It basically works with your brain and your nervous system, and it's all about awareness. So you lie on the floor and the audio track guides you through different movements and it asks you to try this and try that and see which feels better and notice what you notice, and you start to become aware of some of your patterns and some of your habits, and then it tricks you into doing things that will shift those habits, kind of like NLP but for the body, not the brain. NLP for the movements. And by the end of it, you are moving differently. Your brain has learned some new patterns, you've let go of some of your habits, and you stand up at the end and you feel like you are in somebody else's body. It feels like you are completely differently organized. And it can be a truly joyful moment to feel that what you thought was permanent, this sense of yourself as this embodied person which you always thought was permanent, is actually not permanent. It's just a bunch of habits, and those habits can be changed. And it's not just about getting out of pain, because probably a lot of you aren't in any kind of pain. It's about starting to learn to connect with your real authentic body and not just the compilation of habits that we like to think of as our body. Because once you start to strip those away and come back to your real authentic, natural, neutral movement, it's a very different body to be in, and it's a very different world to be in. And it's a hugely powerful thing to experience as a speaker. So that's why I like to include a little bit of this in this course just as a taster to show you what's possible. And I think that you'll find that just the changes in your voice alone that you will hear after doing this process that you're going to do over the homework, the changes to your voice alone will show you how beneficial it will be for speaking, let alone the changes that will happen to your posture, the way you sense your body, the level of awareness you have of your body, and let alone any shifts that you'll feel in your emotional state and in your state of mind. So very, very powerful stuff. So I'm going to really ask you all to promise yourself that you'll do the homework. And if you find that it really was a powerful shift for you, then get in touch with me and I can help you find classes in your area, or I can give you some CDs I've made or whatever. But if you want to go deeper into that process, which I know some of you will, because every time I teach this, there's always a handful of women who get really excited and want to go much further with that re-patterning their body, becoming more aware of their habits. And I have access to tons of that material, either stuff I've done or from other teachers around the world, and it's powerful. So I just wanted to throw that in, because this course really is about preparing yourself for speaking rather than preparing your content. And to prepare yourself, you need to get your body free and connected. You need to get connected to your heart. You need to get connected to your intention. You need to get connected to your higher self. So each week on this course, we are looking at another one of those pieces. And for me, the body piece is one of the most important, mainly because it's the one that tends to get overlooked in most courses, most public speaking courses. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, I've done public speaking courses and they did look at how we use our body. So many of you may have done Toastmasters or NLP courses where they teach you to stand on this part of the stage when you're talking about the future, and stand on this part of the stage where you're talking about the past, and stand over here where you're talking about the present. And if you're trying to be persuasive, do this with your arms. And if you're trying to be honest, do this with your hands. And if you're trying to be humble, turn your palms upwards. And if you're trying to be compelling, turn your hands downwards, or whatever it is. My eyes always just, my mind just shuts off when I go to those courses. I often go to them just out of curiosity. But all that stuff is fake. It's inauthentic. And what is interesting about it is when they teach that stuff, because I've got friends who are public speaking coaches. I know what they teach. I've done their courses. Now, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just a lower level of consciousness than where you ladies are at. That's why you're not drawn to those courses. The problem is they teach you to turn your palms up or turn your palms down to make this particular point. So firstly, it's inauthentic, because it's something you're doing to create an effect rather than doing those movements because they just naturally arise from your own natural body expression in alignment with what you're talking about. So when you see a person speak who's naturally connected to themselves, who has a free and flowing body, and those of you who've seen me speak in public, or there are some other speakers I know who speak with a very free body, and when I watch them speak, you know, their arms will just naturally do things. They will naturally move around the stage. They'll naturally throw their hands around because it's part of what they're talking about. It's a natural consequence of their excitement or their calmness or how dignified they're feeling in that moment. And none of it is contrived. None of it is pre-orchestrated. Whereas if you contrast that to politicians who have been trained in when to put their hand on their heart, when to do this with their arms, when to do this with their shoulders, it's why we don't trust them when we see them speak, because it feels fake. We can feel it, that it's not real. And that's, I know that all of you are about speaking authentically, and so we want to unlearn a lot of those habits of do this and do this with your arms now and do this with your arms now, because that's all inauthentic. But the other problem with the public speaking courses that teach you when to do what kind of gesture is they teach you the gesture, but they don't look at how you're doing the gesture. So they don't look at what your underlying habits are that you're bringing to that gesture. So it's all very well to teach someone to turn their palms up or turn their palms down or put their hand on their heart or stand on the left of the stage or stand on the right of the stage. But if that person is bringing all of their underlying habits to that movement, so let's say their habit is just have their shoulders up around their ears because they're stressed. That's just one habit. There's thousands of possibilities. And every time they turn their palms up, they do that. They turn their palms down, they do that. They stand on the left, they do that. They stand on the right, they do that. They're still conveying their underlying postural patterns, their underlying emotional state to you, even as they're doing that they've learned. And I see that so often in my public speaking courses. People stand on stage and they're doing these gestures they've learned, but they're bringing their habits, their body habits, with them. So really, you can see through it, because you can see how they're feeling, because you can see how they're using their body even when they're doing these fake movements. So they're never taught how to actually notice what their habits are. So everything I'm about is about us starting to have awareness, not just of our thinking, not just of our emotional state, not just of our behaviors, but also starting to have some awareness of our energy field, which is what we'll look at a little bit more in the small coaching groups, but also starting to look at having an awareness of our body. What are our habits of how we hold ourselves? What are our habits of how we move? What are our habits of how our body responds in certain situations? So whenever someone asks you to do something you don't want to do, how does your body respond? When you're in a situation that's scary, how does your body respond? When you're around your parents, how does your body respond? When you're getting excited, how does your body respond? And we have habits in how we respond to life. We also have habits in how we stand and how we move. And so, yeah, if anything comes out of today's call and doing the process you're going to do during the week, it's that I want you to start to have a slightly higher degree of awareness of what your body's doing. And so what, let me just see, I'm just going to pull out the old notes from last year and just see if I did an exercise around this. Just been speaking off the top of my head, so actually it's quite interesting. I'm now looking at the notes that I did last year. And I think I've actually covered all of it. How good is that? Yes. Oh, I have covered everything. The only point that I haven't made that I'd written down here is that I think I've alluded to this, is how when we free up our body, that's right, yeah, when we free up our body, we also free up our heart. So, for example, and we also can free up our mind, and we can also free up our energy field. So, for example, last night I was teaching a Feldenkrais class on a telecall to some people who signed up for 5 weeks of classes, and I taught a class that was all about freeing up the upper back and exploring the habits in the chest and the upper back. And I was doing the class as I taught it, because it's a telecall, so it means I can roll around on the floor and no one can see me, so it's great, so I can do it as well. And at the end I noticed, yeah, my upper back was feeling really free, not stiff at all, and I felt really wide and I felt really expanded, my chest was free, and had much more room for breathing and I felt more balanced, and they were all the physical things. But I started to notice that my heart chakra had opened. The energy was flowing much more freely through my heart chakra because I'd actually shifted the way my chest and upper back were organized, and that had a correlation in the energetic body as well as the physical body. And I noticed that my mood had shifted because my heart had opened, my chest had freed, my breathing had freed up. That had an effect on my emotional state, and it also had an effect on my mental state. A lot of the thoughts that had been racing around my mind before teaching the class were gone. And I had to go out to a family dinner afterwards, which probably normally would have been stressful for me, but because I had just taught my Feldy class and I was feeling so slinky, my chest was so free, my heart was so free, I turned up there in such great spirits and handled the whole thing, which in the past normally would have been quite stressful because those relatives are quite conservative and I don't really fit in with them. But it was a lovely night, and I know that if I had not taught the class before I went, I would have experienced very differently because my body would have been in a different state, which means my mind, my emotions, and my heart would have been in a different state, and my energy system would have been flowing differently. So I just wanted to show you that we can access this transformation through any of those points, through shifting our thoughts, through shifting our emotions, through shifting our energetic body, through shifting our behavior, or through shifting our body. And the reason I often choose the body path is it's very quick and it's very concrete and you can feel it. And when you feel a difference in your body, it's obvious. But sometimes when you feel a difference in the other areas, it's less obvious. That's why it's one of the most powerful places to start. So your homework for this week is going to be to do one of those body explorations that I'm going to send you later today or tomorrow. So we're not going to do that now because I'd rather you do that in detail by yourself. But what I would like to do is just do a short exercise to just investigating some of our habits without judgment. So what I want you to do is I'm going to put you, how many people do we have on the call at the moment? Some people have dropped off. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I think I'm going to leave you in your current groups. Lyndon dropped off. I'm going to put her back into group 4. So you're all in your current group still. That's good. Or Heather's pretty much by herself. Oh no, Lyndon was in group 3. Sorry, Lyndon, I'm going to put you into group 3. Okay, so what we're going to do is you've already heard each other's voices earlier in the day, so we don't need you to hear each other's voices now. We're just going to do a little process of body awareness, and then I'm going to put you back into your groups to share about how you found the process, and you'll also be able to listen to each other's voices and notice if anything's changed, just simply from doing a little bit of noticing of our posture. So what I want you to do is put your pen and paper down, because I know I've just bombarded you with a million new ideas, so don't worry about how much you've taken in. We're just going to do a little bit of experiencing now. Put your pen and paper down, close your eyes, and what I want you to do is just sit, preferably on a seat, but if you want, you can sit cross-legged on the floor, but I'd prefer you to sit on a seat. And I want you to actually come forward to sit in the front of your seat so that you're not leaning against the back of the chair. And have your feet just somewhere on the floor comfortably in front of you. Have your arms just resting somewhere comfortably. And so what I want you to start to do is just to notice your 2 feet on the floor. And I'm going to ask you a series of questions, and there's no right or wrong answers. It's just a chance for you to observe without judgment. Everyone's going to have very different answers. So I want you to start by noticing your 2 feet. And notice, does one foot feel like it's more in front or behind the other? Does one foot feel like it's turned out to the side more than the other? Or does it feel like it's more straight than the other? Notice the weight under the 2 feet. Do you feel like you're resting more heavily on your left foot or your right foot? Now, some of these questions I ask, you may have no answer. You may just say, oh, I don't know, and that's totally fine. There's no right or wrong. Some of the questions will be more meaningful for you than others. And now notice your left foot, is your weight more on the inside edge of your foot or the outside edge of your foot? And then ask that question of your right foot, is the weight more on the inside edge or the outside edge? Notice if there's more weight on the heels of your feet or on the balls of your feet, the toes. And now bring your attention to your 2 knees and just notice, does one knee point more out to the side or more straight ahead than the other? You could imagine there's a torch beam coming out of your right knee and just notice where that torch beam would be shining right now. Is it straight ahead? Or is it a bit out to the right or the left? And then imagine there's a torch beam coming out of your left knee. And is that pointing a little bit to the right or a little bit to the left? And without changing anything, without adjusting anything, just seeing what is at the moment without any judgment. Everyone has complex patterns. It's just a chance to sense that. And now notice the length of your right thigh and compare that to the length of your left thigh. Does one of them feel a bit longer than the other or shorter than the other? Notice where your hands are resting. If they are resting on your thighs, is one hand resting closer to the knee or further from the knee? Notice the angle of your fingers. Which part of your fingers is touching on the left? Which part of your fingers is touching on the right? Which part of your palm or the back of your hand is touching, and is it the same on both sides? And now notice your 2 buttocks on the seat, your bottom. Do you feel like one buttock is a bit more spread out or wider or heavier than the other? If you have a sense of what I mean by your sitting bones, which some people will, some people won't, just notice, do you feel like you're sitting more on one sitting bone or more on the other? Do you feel like you're sitting more kind of rounded back on your sacrum? Like, you know how when we sit on a couch and we kind of slump back and we're sort of sitting, resting on our sacrum behind us? Or do you feel like you're rolled forward, so you're sitting on the front of your pubic bone? Or do you feel like you're sitting somewhere in the middle? So just notice which part of your pelvis are you resting on? Is it more towards the front, towards your pubic bone, or is it more towards the back, towards your sacrum, or is it somewhere in the middle? Now, that's a very subtle question to feel. You may have no answer for that, and that's okay. Those of you who've done some Feldenkrais or Alexander technique or any kind of somatic learning process before, you'll probably find a different level of ability to sense these things. And if it's the first time you've ever done an inquiry like this, then just notice which things are easier for you to sense than others, and just be interested in that. Now, if there was a torch beam coming out of the middle of your pelvis, let's say the front of your pubic bone, so there's a torch beam coming out of the front of your pubic bone, is it facing straight ahead, or does it face a little bit to the left? Does it shine a little bit to the left, or does it shine a little bit to the right? Again, there's nothing wrong or right. It's just interesting to notice. And then notice your belly. Do you feel like your belly is pulled in or pushed out? Do you feel like you're tensing it? Do you feel like it's completely relaxed? Without changing anything, just notice what you notice. Or you might find that just asking the question, something already starts to change anyway. Notice your chest now. Does your chest feel like it's lifted up into the air? Or does it feel like it's sunken down? If there was a torch beam coming out of the middle of your chest, would it be shining up towards the ceiling, or would it be shining down towards the floor, or would it be shining straight ahead? Now, some of you might be finding it irritating to pay such subtle and close attention to your body, and that's okay, just notice that. Some of you might be finding it fascinating, just notice that. Some of you might be finding it boring, just notice that. It's just another habit. This is my habit of how I pay attention to myself. Just notice it as another habit. So now, coming back to that torch beam in the middle of your chest, I want you to notice, does it shine a little bit more to the left or a little bit more to the right? That's another way of asking, does your chest tend to be rotated a bit to the left or a bit to the right? And you might say, I don't know, and that's okay. So another way to sense this is to bring your attention to the front of your shoulders, your two shoulders. Does one shoulder feel more forward than the other? Or does one shoulder feel more back, pulled back than the other? Does that have any correlation with whether you felt your chest was turned a bit to the left or to the right? And now notice your face. Do you feel like your face is pointing straight ahead, or is it turned a little bit to the left or a little bit to the right? You could again imagine there was a torch beam coming out of your nose. And is that torch beam pointing straight ahead or a little bit to the left or a little bit to the right? We all have habits of how we hold our head. Do you feel like that torch beam is pointing up? So is your head tilted up a little bit? Or is that torch beam pointing down? Is your head tilted down a little bit? Even though your eyes are closed, just imagine that if you opened your eyes, where would you be looking? Where would your horizon be? Would it be straight ahead, or would it be a little bit up, or would it be a little bit down? Would your eyes be looking a little bit to the left or a little bit to the right? Just noticing that without any judgment. And now, just again bringing your attention to your shoulders, notice, does one shoulder feel higher than the other or lower than the other? Notice the distance between your right ear and your right shoulder. How big is that distance? Notice the distance between your left ear and your left shoulder. How big is that distance? And is there a difference? And for some of you, that may give you some information about the angle that your head is tilted. Do you feel that your head is tilted to the left or to the right? And then leave that. So we've done a lot of very subtle questions. Now I'm going to come back to a couple of much bigger picture questions, which will help those of you who get bored by the subtle questions. I want you to start by just sensing the whole front of your torso, from the top of your head all the way down to the base of your front of your pubic bone, the whole front of you, and notice how long does that feel? How long is the front of your torso? And then compare that to the back of you, from the base of your bottom all the way up to the top of your head, the back of you. Does that feel longer than the front of you, or does that feel shorter? And now notice the left side of your torso, from the top of your head all the way down to your left buttock. How long is the left side of you? Compare that to the right side, from the top of your head down to your right buttock. Does one side feel longer? Does that give you a sense of how your posture is organized at the moment? And then just come back to an overall sense of your whole body sitting there. Notice how heavy does it feel? How light does it feel? How tall do you feel? How short do you feel? And we've gone very quickly through a whole bunch of questions about awareness. And the reason we've done it so quickly is just to give you an overall snapshot of how your posture is in this particular moment in time, and it might change 20 minutes from now. But you may have felt as you went through that you noticed some things about yourself that you didn't know before, and there's no right or wrong about them. It's just starting to catch some of our habits of how we hold ourselves in sitting. So one question I haven't asked you, which I'm going to finish with, is notice that in this sitting position, how much tension do you feel in your back? Does it feel like it's a lot of work to sit here for this amount of time? Or does it feel like you could sit here for many hours comfortably? I suspect that for most of you, it's starting to feel a bit tiring. And also notice, do you feel like your back is very, very arched as you sit here? Or do you feel like your back is very, very slumped as you sit here, and there's no right or wrong, whatever you're doing is fine? Or do you feel like your back is somewhere in between the two? Maybe it's not arched, it's not slumped, it's somehow in the middle. Just noticing the shape of your back, the level of muscle work going on in your back right now to hold yourself up. And just know that simply by starting to become aware of some of these habits is the first step. And then as you do this process you're going to do during the week, and if you choose to do more work in this area or find a Feldenkrais class or do some of my classes, you'll start to be able to play with a lot of these habits and come to a lot more place of neutral. And you'll find that one day you'll be sitting here doing a scan like this and you'll realize that it feels completely effortless to sit. And you could sit for hours comfortably like this. And I know that because I didn't used to be able to sit for more than 30 seconds without extreme pain. And now I can sit comfortably for hours without any sense of effort. And that's purely because I've changed my level of awareness and the way in which I'm organizing the movements of sitting and the way I'm organizing my posture. So just to let you know what's possible if you choose to go down that path with someone. So that was really good. So I want you to just slowly open your eyes, come back into the world. And what I'm going to do is, you're still in your little groups of two or three, and I want you to just take a couple of minutes to go through with each other the things you noticed about your body, what was different between the two sides, were some things easier to sense than others, and just chatting about that, and also listening to each other's voices, and notice if just from doing a few minutes of paying attention, if that has actually even created some change in the person's body, because you'll be able to hear that reflected in their voice. So I want you to speak in the same order, if you can remember it, that might make it easier. So Jacqueline, then Margio, then Marion, Natalie, then Gayatri, then Jan, Heather, then Lyndon, Beth, then Denise, then Mary. That'll just make it, I think, a little bit easier for you to go. So go ahead, I'm going to give you a few minutes to chat, and feel free to enjoy that time with each other. Well done, everybody. I'm going to draw that to a close just because we've only got a few minutes left in the class, but I was just popping into the different groups listening, and there are a few things I wanted to comment on. Firstly, that one of the groups started really noticing how much everyone's voices had changed. And it is interesting to hear. I was listening to you all. People sounded calmer, more connected to themselves. Voices were sounding across the board, listening to all four groups. Everyone's voices were sounding a little bit deeper to me, more resonant. So that shows me that people are more in their body now and their bodies have changed. So that's powerful in itself. I noticed some people sharing about how they were feeling a lot of discomfort sitting. I totally relate to that. I had years where I couldn't sit for more than a few seconds. I just want to let you know that that does change. As you start to become aware of your habits and do the work to change them, sitting can become effortless. The reason that is painful is because of the habits that we're bringing to it. We're using particular muscles to hold ourselves up rather than knowing how to balance on our spine. And that just takes time to learn, and I have lots of tools for that if anyone wants to go there. If anyone wants to ask me about that after the course, I'm happy to help you with that, because that was my journey from agony in sitting to comfort in sitting, so I love helping people with that. I've got some CDs about it and stuff, some workshops I've taught that I can send you. Anyway, but the other thing I noticed listening was a lot of people talking about, I noticed this change, I noticed one side was different and I was turned or I was twisted or my head was tilted, and I could feel the urge in people to want to correct that. that I need to be in perfect alignment. Everything needs to be straight. Now, that's actually not correct. This exercise is not designed to show you how imperfect you are. It's just designed to show you habits. We're never going to be perfectly straight because we have our heart on the left, not on the right. We have more lungs on one side than the other. We have a dominant eye. We have a dominant hand. We have a standing leg. We have a balancing leg. So our two sides are never going to be the same. So it's not about finding this perfect balance and perfect alignment. It's about starting to become aware of what our habits are and starting to notice which ones are limiting us or interfering with our full range of expression. So if I'm always twisted to the left, that's okay, but it might mean that if I want to reach for the coffee cup that's to the right, I can't do it. So I need to have available twisting to the left and twisting to the right. But my actual posture may always be a little bit twisted to the left because that may be my habit and that's okay. But it's about starting to notice what's possible in our range of movement. So whenever you're doing a body scan in any of my lessons, don't use it as a chance to beat yourself up about how imperfect you are or to start to wish everything could be perfect and you could fix it all. Just start to notice, ah, that's interesting. I didn't even know I had that habit. I wonder what the upside of that habit is and I wonder what the downside of it is. I wonder how it's helping me and how it's limiting me. And I wonder if I could learn some new options so that I have choice now. I could maybe have my head tilted to the left but also have it tilted to the right. So it's much more about discovering more options and developing awareness than it is about having this perfect, perfectly aligned body. So I just wanted to put that out there because I could hear some talking about that and I know that that comes up a lot for people when they first start doing this work. Anyway, we have had a huge 2 hours today. We've done two huge topics. Really, I've packed so much in today and I have to because there's so much I want to get through in this course and we've still got so many more things to do in the next 3 weeks. But I'm really, really grateful to you all for going so deep in both processes, both the intention and the body. They're both very powerful. I would encourage you to rest after the class, drink lots of water because we've done a lot of powerful work today. You've taken in a lot of information, both experientially and through other channels. So really looking forward to hearing how everyone goes with the home play this week. Make sure you don't skip it. It is a compulsory part of the course, and I think you're going to really enjoy it. To see if you can find an hour where you won't be disturbed by anyone, give yourself an hour to really enjoy feeling delicious in your body. And I look forward to hearing from you all next week. Post on the Facebook group about how you're going with practicing the centering techniques. Post on the Facebook group how you're going playing with setting intentions. I want you to practice setting intentions this week. Maybe if you have any talks coming up, you could practice setting an intention before you speak. And also post on the Facebook group how you feel about the body process that you do in the homework. And I really look forward to hearing about it next week. And those of you who are listening on the recording, I look forward to going through these two processes with you, or certainly going through the speaking process with you in the follow-up call. I'm assuming you will have already done the body one when you listen to the recording. So, but we'll do the small group stuff in the follow-up call. But thank you all so much. It's been a beautiful, beautiful class. I've really enjoyed it. And I hope you all have too. And I shall see you next week. Bye.